Lord, that we can come together in this place and learn from you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we can come and worship you freely. And I thank you, Lord, we come with hearts of expectancy, Lord, ready to receive today your word. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, today we have Seth and Hannah. If you two want to come up here. God bless God. Ben?
Bless God. Dear Father God, I thank you for Hannah and Seth, Father God. I thank you that today, Lord, that your words come forth, Father God, and comes into our hearts, Lord, and it changes us forever, Lord. I thank you that all your words have purpose, Father God, and that today we'll receive them with joy, Father God, that you'll open up our hearts and ears, Lord, that we'll understand and have revelation, Father God. I thank you for that, Lord. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Today I'm going to be talking about fear because it's probably like one of the most difficult things I've ever dealt with in my life. And I think one of the reasons why is the world keeps telling us like it's okay to have just a little bit of fear. I mean, my 8th grade teacher told me when we were getting up and giving speeches in our class that she said that, oh, it's okay to have a little bit of fear. You're supposed to. It keeps you focused and stuff like that. And it's not what the Word of God says. God says that fear not. He said that over 110 times in the Bible. And I think the world misconstrues that to tell you that you should fear a little bit. But in Revelation 21:8, it says that the fearful, the unbelievers, and the cowardly are the very first ones mentioned to go into the lake of fire. And that verse had a really big impact on my life since I've been letting fear in so much in my life. And just that little bit of fear, once you start letting that in, then more fear will start to come in, and that starts ruling and dominating your life. But one of the verses that really helped me is Isaiah 26:3-4, if you guys want to turn there. It says, "You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you." So what this verse is saying is that when you put your mind and your thoughts on God and his word, then you will have, you are actually putting your trust in him. And when you, for instance, when you let your mind wander, and that allows fear and doubt and unbelief to come in. But when you have when you focus on God's word and his promises, then that allows faith, and it builds your faith up, and it brings you closer to God. And your relationship with God is really important for guarding your heart against fear. Because in Psalm 34:4, it says that, I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. So when you seek the Lord and when you put your mind and your mind and trust in him, he will deliver you from all your fears. And that's just not meaning one, or it doesn't mean that you can let a little bit of fear in your life. It says all your fears. A good example in the Bible, one that really stuck out to me, is in Isaiah 1745, my bad. And it says, it's about David and Goliath, and it says, "Then said David to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the ranks of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I'll smite you and cut off your head, and I'll give you the corpses of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel.'" So David had to have a good relationship with God because he came in the name of the Lord of hosts. And when you know God and when you trust in him and you put your mind on him, then you can come in the name of the Lord of hosts and you can face anything and everything that comes against you, any Goliath in your life. And another thing I heard a pastor say is that you become a slave to what you fear. So, and this is true because if you think about it, like if you fear man, you're going to become a slave to what they think about you, to what they say about you. So, yeah, don't do that. And that's basically what I wanted to say. So.
All right, well, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, I'm still at the point where I'm sort of reading off the page, so if we hit any typos, just kind of roll with it. All right. Today, I'm going to be talking about a thing that a lot of us struggle with, and that is condemnation in yourself. Now, in my personal opinion, I believe that most Christians walk in a spirit of defeat, and that is indeed what condemnation is. Keith Moore talks about letting ourselves fall into condemnation because naturally as humans we gravitate towards the negative, and Satan enjoys using small subtle things to drag us into a deep pit of condemnation. Now, I used to struggle a lot with condemnation. I guess that was my main problem in life. I let myself fall into what I like to call the deep pit because it's deep, it's narrow, and it's hard to get out of. And the more you sit in there, the deeper you get stuck in it. And once you get stuck down there, it's really hard to get out because it becomes your reality. And that's all you can think about is these four walls around you, your pit. And when you look up at the sky, it doesn't seem like you'll ever reach it because you just keep getting further and further and further down into it. But this message says that there's hope. The enemy likes us to pick extremes. God gives us more than two options in life. The devil says you're either perfect or you're a dirty, lousy sinner. Don't feel like you have to answer questions that you don't know the answer to. Let God guide you. Oftentimes, I myself find a loss for words when people ask me certain questions. Just put your pride aside and let God guide you. And then later on, be wise about this. Go seek counsel on it so you'll know the next time what you're supposed to say. Because, I mean, I've had atheists come up that know the Bible a lot better than I do, and they quote all the scripture incorrectly, and I couldn't battle it because I didn't know it. So I guess that's bad on my part for not reading up, right? All right, we're going to do a little exercise here. After I say this, you're all going to say it with me. There is no condemnation in Christ. So there is what?
No condemnation in Christ.
Now, do we all believe this?
Yes.
There is no condemnation in Christ. In John 3:16, God said he sent his only son into the world to die for us. Now, a lot of times we don't really take that seriously or think about it. It's just the first Bible verse you ever learned. Now, God sent his only son to us, sinners, wretched people. If we look around, oftentimes we become biased to the people that we see around us, and we think, oh, how could they do that, or how could someone do this? God loved us so much, even through all of our iniquities, that he sent his one and only son to die for people who are disgusting and vile. That's love, and that's showing that, hey, there's no condemnation, and my people are going to show you no condemnation, because I love you, they love me, so they're going to love you. Jesus said to a promiscuous woman, go and sin no more. She was with five guys, I think, and a bunch of the people from the temple brought her out, and they were going to stone her. And Jesus said, well, you who's clean, you know, go ahead, cast the first stone. And they all just looked at him, and then they walked away because they all knew they were unclean. And the woman was, you know, kind of like, what? What, aren't you going to preach to me? Aren't you going to tell me I'm going to hell? And he's like, no, just go sin no more. I don't care what you did, just don't do it again. That's the thing. We, as humans, think we need to be perfectionists on everything. You know, we say, oh, well, if I'm not doing this completely 100% right, I must be hellbound, I must be a terrible person. When Jesus says go and sin no more, he's not saying that you can't sin, or that if you do, you're going to hell. What he's saying is, I want to get you to give your best effort, and when you feel like you can't, rely on me. because I'll get you through it. Condemnation, by definition, is a sense of guilt. If you feel guilty, you feel like you deserve to be punished. And if you feel like you deserve punishment, you have no motivation to drag yourself out of the deep pit. You will stay there and you will become blind to the word, deaf to the voice of God, and overall stagnant in your faith walk and relationship with the Father. When you're down there by yourself, you forget about God, you forget about everyone else. The only thing that you are focused on is the four walls around you and yourself, and the pit that you constantly fill your iniquities and crap with. God constantly is over that hole, putting his hand down there and saying, hey, I can get you out of here. But if you're too wrapped up down there with your own self, you don't want to see that. You don't want to hear that. Pain becomes comfortable. It becomes okay. You adjust. You adapt. But that's not the way God planned it. And if we do indeed accept that, that's not right. Not right at all. Most Christians nowadays live in some degree of condemnation. It robs you of your peace, faith, fellowship, and incapacitates you. Satan uses small, subtle things to throw us off track and throw us into deep pits. But there is hope for us. I believe humanity's number one enemy in the physical is lack of education. So I'm going to educate you on this little nugget of hope. God doesn't change his love for us because we mess up. I think that his compassion grows for us when he sees us fall down. But the action that will make or break you is if you cry out to him or not. As soon as you start feeling condemned or oppressed or depressed, do not hesitate to cry out for the Father. If you do, you'll be sorry and you'll be in that pit. Guilt makes you a wimp. Stand strong in the word of the Lord, because it says very clearly that not only are you loved, but you are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Jesus didn't hang on a cross for kicks, and he sure didn't do it so we could walk around with our shoulders hunched and our self-esteem as low as the ground. He died so we could be victorious and overcome anything through the free and accessible strength of God. He isn't sitting up in heaven hoarding the peace and strength to himself. And there's no waiting line. If you ask for it in the name of Jesus, you will receive it. There's no waiting. There's no certain steps you have to follow to get it. It's just there. It's there for you. And if you don't ask for it, and if you don't get it, that's on you. It's nobody else's fault, because you didn't cry out to God to get help. It's on you. Condemnation is your worst enemy, but you don't have to live in it. The devil is afraid of us getting anointed. He's afraid when we access the power of our Father, because he cannot stand against it. Where there is darkness, or where there is light, there cannot be darkness present. But if you let your light go out, then darkness will engulf you. Again, John 3:16, God did send his one Son for us, and he died a very gruesome death just for you and just for me. The number one why people live in condemnation is disbelief. No one is in hell for sinning. They're there because they didn't believe in Jesus and his ability to cleanse us. If you believe in him and receive his love and his free gift of salvation and walk in the Spirit, then you are under a covering that nothing can trump. Not even Satan, not you, just God. To say that we are not worthy to stand in the presence of God is like saying that Jesus isn't worthy either, because we are cleansed by the righteousness of God and the same that is inside Jesus Christ. We are new creations in Christ and have no business feeling or saying that we are condemned. Now look in your neighbor and say with me, we are new creations in Christ and we have no business feeling condemned. Now, do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Now walk in it.
Right.
And that's it.
Give them both a hand clap. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thanks be to God. Oh, I'm so excited. So excited. You know, I would have promised you that they both read my notes for today before I got up here, But I know that they didn't because I wrote them in the car on the way over here. So thank God. He's been talking to me this week, and so he finally had me write it all down on the way over here in the car. But no, I wasn't driving. That's why I'm still here, thank God. Yeah, thank God he never asked me to do anything that endangers my life quite like that. Bless God. But thank God. So I'm excited today. So the thing that the Lord wanted me to talk to you about today is about being bold. Being bold. And it was interesting that both Hannah and Seth mentioned about the sacrifice that Jesus made. About the sacrifice that Jesus had made. Because that's the exact same thing that he impressed on my heart. About how much he loves us. How much he loves us. And how he sent his son to die for us. Not so, you know, that we could just, you know, not go to hell. Not so that you could just make it to heaven for eternity and not end up in hell. But he sent his son to die for us so that he could have more sons and daughters. Because he desires to have a relationship with each and every one of you. Because he wants to get to know you. You know, he told me, Luke, the reason you're saved is because I have chosen you. No one can come to God unless he draws them. He goes, I drew on your heart. I desire to have a relationship with everyone. I drew on your heart. I chose you because I want to know you. I want to have a relationship with you. And he said, that's true for every person in this church. That's true for you and you and you and you and all of you. God wants a relationship with you. He wants to talk to you. Amen? He wants to get to know you. And just like, you know, every parent desires to have a relationship, a good relationship with their child. They want to know them. They want to talk to them. You know, how's your day been? How are you doing? You know, every parent desires to know their child. God desires to know you. He desires to have a personal relationship with you. You know, if you think about it, your relationship with your children, you bless your children maybe with gifts, or if your kid, you know, is hungry and they ask you for food, you give them something good, right? The Bible even talks about that. You know, if your kid asks you for something, you don't give them a snake or a scorpion, unless your kid asks for that or something as a pet. But God blesses us with good things because we are his children. That is a byproduct, though. If you look at it, that your blessing your children is a byproduct of your love for them. That blessing is a byproduct. And too often, we seek after the blessings of God. And we chase and chase and chase after money or this or that. And we seek after the blessings of God instead of seeking after his face. Instead of seeking after a personal relationship with him and desiring him above everything else. Too often we chase after everything else. And he says, don't seek after all those things. The Bible says, don't seek after all those things that the Gentiles seek, saying, what shall we eat? Wherewith shall we be clothed? He said, don't seek after all those things. Seek me and my kingdom first. And all those things are just a byproduct. They're added to you. They're just, that's on the side. That comes naturally because we are his children, because he loves us. God desires to speak to each one of you. He desires a very intimate relationship with you. And you know, he not only desires to have a relationship with you, but he desires to have a relationship with others as well. I'm sure you're all surrounded, or you all talk to at some time or another, people that are not saved, people that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. These people, you know, don't know what it's like to be able to talk to God. They don't know what it's like to be loved, to have a father who cares for them and loves them. Spread the good news with others. It's good news. Be bold about it. That's what the Lord wanted me to tell you today, is to be bold with spreading his gospel. You know, recently the Lord has been dealing with me about this, and I had an opportunity to talk to a guy at school about his relationship with God. It was very interesting. The Lord woke me up in the middle of the night, which is something that I do not do, waking up in the middle of the night. The house can come down, but I will be asleep in my bed. Thank God for that. But I woke up in the middle of the night. It was 4:30 in the morning. And I'm like, I don't wake up at 4:30 in the morning. But I was wide awake. And the Lord laid this guy on my heart, so I prayed for him. Didn't know why. He goes to my school. Recently, the Lord's been laying on my heart the people at my school, their salvation. And I've been praying that the Lord would send laborers into the harvest. And one thing he told me is, Luke, you're one of those laborers that I'm sending. And I was like, oh, okay. But I prayed for this guy, didn't think too much of it. But on my way into school, I was listening to the Bible in the car. And the Lord had me stop it and just start praying. Started praying, and that guy got laid on my heart. And in my mind, I could hear myself talking to him about the gospel. Talking to him about the gospel. And that night before, when I went back to bed, I had a dream about talking to this guy about the gospel. I couldn't remember what I had said. All I know is that I had talked to him and other people at my school about God. And so on my way into school, the Lord dropped in my spirit what I should say to him. That I woke up in the middle of the night and I had to pray for him. So I went there, prayed for him, and I went there and I was praying for him as I went into school. I get to school and I thought, well, as soon as I get there, I'll talk to him about this. I get there and he's not there. I went, well, maybe not. Well, maybe not. So then later, you know, I'm sitting there studying. He comes in with a bunch of other people who are my friends. We're talking and talking, you know, and doing homework and like that. Well, everyone else leaves except for him. And just me and him at the table, and we're doing homework, and the Lord just drops it in my spirit. Luke, you need to say that to him. I mean, really drops in my spirit. Luke, you need to say that to him. And right then, he said, be bold. Be bold. And I was reminded of the scripture verse, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. I said, Lord, I don't want to be denied. So I told him, hey, God woke me up in the middle of the night last night, and I had to pray for you. I had to pray for you. And he's like, man, don't tell me that. Now I'm all messed up. I haven't been able to sleep for the past week. He goes, I haven't been able to sleep right. I'll lay this way and I don't feel right. I lay that way and I don't feel right. He had been having problems, all these different problems in his life. And he's just started telling me about this. And then, you know, he's telling me, well, you know, my family believes this way and that way. And the Lord just kept bringing things to me to say, you know, I'm not the most well-spoken person one-on-one or the most charismatic person that ever existed. But it's not about that. It's about the Lord dropping the right thing into your spirit to say. Because I know I'm definitely not that good at arguing. But it wasn't an argument. It was about God giving me the words to speak. And everything I said just cut down. All those defenses, all those bad beliefs that he had in the past. And right there in the second floor of the library, I got to pray with him to accept Jesus. And I said, praise God. I said, hallelujah. So the Lord impressed on my heart to be bold. And now I'm going to start having Bible study with this guy. So be bold. Share the gospel. And I've had opportunities now that I've started stepping out and being bold to share the gospel with other people at my school as well. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you know, you don't realize just how dry it is out there, how hungry people are, how destitute people are. People are in need of help. They need answers. And God has given us those answers. So just don't keep them to yourself. It's good news. It's good news. So be bold. You know, one thing, we have this amazing opportunity here at discipleship to be bold and to, you know, share the good news of, you know, what God's been talking to us about for the church. You know, take this opportunity to practice being bold. To practice being bold. Amen? Amen. Thank God. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, that you speak with us, that you desire to have a personal relationship with you. Lord, we desire to talk to you too, Lord. We desire to know you. That's why we're here, Lord. I thank you for that, and I thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. In your name I pray. Amen.